Thank you for joining us today with Cindy Sherwood's podcast, Words for the Journey.
I have another podcast today resulting from a listener request, Forgiving Yourself. I've done two others on forgiveness, Known by Their Love and But I Don't Want to Forgive. In those, I speak more to the direction of being reluctant to offer forgiveness. However, sometimes we have no trouble asking God for forgiveness, but struggle to do the same for ourselves. Living with shame and self-loathing is awful. Shame is useful when it leads us to the foot of the cross and a good decision to unload it onto Jesus. When shame drives us to confess our poor choices and receive God's forgiveness so we can be free from it, that's a very good thing. But too many of us lay the ugly thing at His feet just long enough to get the words out. Then we pick it back up again and take it home with us. That's pretty silly. It's like being in jail and having the warden unlock the door and tell us, "Go home, you're free." And then we smile and say, "Thank you, that's wonderful," while we pull the door closed again and remain in the cell. Who would do that? Why on earth would anyone choose to stay locked up when they've been granted freedom? When their sentence has been paid and cleared? Yet many of us do exactly that when it comes to our mistakes. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Every human being has made mistakes, has made choices they regret. Sometimes I wonder if adulthood should begin at 40 rather than 20, since those earlier years are particularly fraught with dumb stuff. But in reality, it is those earlier stupid things that hopefully propel us to grow and mature and live healthier lives. Not always, though. We all know 40 and 50-year-olds still living ridiculous lives. Don't you wish God granted everyone a handful of do-over cards when we were born? I know how I would use mine. The poor decisions that most torment me are the ones that also hurt other people I love, particularly my children. Just months after my dad walked out on our family, I began dating the guy with whom I would eventually marry and have two children. I was 15. It was never a good relationship, tumultuous right from the start. I just wanted someone to want me, but he treated me poorly. I had over 3 years to back out before I married him at 19, but didn't. When it was all finally over, I found out he'd not only been with other women the 6 years we were married, but the 3 years we dated too. He was living a double life in every way. During my second pregnancy, he finally got involved enough with one of them that he packed his bags and left. The fallout was immense. But the one thing that grieves me to this day is the lifelong suffering of my daughters, because they never had a relationship with their father. Now, if I were to read your thoughts at this point, I would guess many of you are thinking, "Oh, that was nearly 40 years ago. It's not worth drudging back up. It wasn't your fault. He was the one who cheated. Besides, you were only 15. What did you know at such a young age?" We tend to have more grace for others than we do for ourselves. The problem is that in my heart of hearts, in my honest place, even at 19, I knew it was the wrong decision to marry him, but I did it anyway. I was responsible for that. I could have altered the course of my life and avoided decades of pain for my children had I listened to that voice inside me that said, "This is wrong." What is your do-over wish list? What is on that list that no matter how many times you do business over it with Jesus, you still blame yourself, you still think about, you still berate yourself? So why can't we let it go? The roots go deep on this one. It is a battle between our beliefs and our feelings. And our past experiences with acceptance come into play too. To repeat something I've previously recorded in a podcast, our beliefs fall into three categories. Our beliefs about God, our beliefs about our identity, and our beliefs about God's relationship with us. Holding on to regret and shame, even when we've received God's forgiveness, stems from false beliefs in all three categories. A few key beliefs about God's character come into play here. God is merciful, God is loving, God is kind-hearted. If we aren't solid on these, we're going to struggle. Micah 7:18, NIV, says, "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy." This is the truth about God's character. He pardons our sin, and not reluctantly. He delights to show mercy. Having doubt about God's character will lead us to doubt that forgiveness is real. It's like we perform the Christian checklist as a way of doing penance for our sin. Oh, what a wretched soul I am. We readily punish ourselves because we believe it's what we deserve. And there's truth in that. Our sins do deserve punishment. However, that's an incomplete belief system, one that erases Jesus out of the picture. John 8:36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." God's kindness, love, and mercy were clearly demonstrated when he sent his only Son to bear our punishment and die on the cross. If we hang on to our guilt, we're rejecting that truth and the gift that goes along with it. But it is not simply false beliefs about God's character that cause this problem. Beliefs about his relationship with us are key as well. Here are a few samples. God sees us through love, not through our mistakes. God gives us grace. God lets go of our sin completely when we confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We continually confuse our own misguided thoughts and feelings with God's. Sometimes the truth piece inside us is nothing but a pile of mush. And as always, our identity beliefs add to this struggle too. Are we solid on these identity beliefs? I am worthy of God's mercy because Christ paid the price. God loves me as much as every human being. God enjoys me and acts kindly toward me. Zephaniah 3:17, NIV, says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." God delights in us. If we do not believe these truths, self-forgiveness will be a problem. To get this resolved, we need to clearly identify our false beliefs. Then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, identify the truth and tenaciously transition to the truth by rejecting the lies. I won't kid you. It's hard work, but truly worth it. The Healing Journey class helps many people with this process. So that leads me to the mental piece of this. Because the problem of self-forgiveness is often attached to old issues, we've probably made strong negative pathways in our mind, mentally castigating ourselves every day. Getting rid of these well-developed eight-lane highways takes work too. So after we've identified our false beliefs and have committed to embrace the truth, then we need to retrain our mind to stay away from the lies. So, back to our highway analogy, we're going to go off-road. Even though the highway is easier, we're going to drive in the bumpy field. In time, that field will get smoother and a new road will develop. Eventually, the truth will become the new highway. Romans 12:2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Let me give you an example, back to my own personal regrets. So I've done all the necessary business with my past wrong choice. I've confessed this. I've received God's forgiveness. I've apologized to my girls. So now, when the thoughts return like, "You're a terrible mother because of what you did to your girls," I have to nip it in the bud. I have to make the choice to not turn and head down that wrong road by agreeing with it. Here's how that might go. I am not a terrible mother, nor am I a terrible person. I've always worked to be the best possible person I can be, including the best possible mother, even though I have made mistakes. But that's part of being human. I've made choices that brought pain and suffering to my girls, but God has forgiven me and released me from this sin. Choosing to live in this guilt and regret does not benefit me or my girls in any way. It just brings me down and makes me feel defeated and hopeless. No one benefits from that. Christ has set me free. I make the choice to live in that freedom. Satan, go away. I reject your lies. I am valuable, and I choose to live in the truth. Thank you, Jesus, for setting me free. That's what I call an affirmation of truth. It's helpful to write it out so we can read it whenever the shame comes back. Remember, too, that highways are not made in a day. They take years. And so does changing our false beliefs and bad thought patterns. Reading Scripture every day makes a huge difference. When we spend time with God, allowing His Holy Spirit to work in us, absorbing His Word, our thoughts and beliefs are changed. 2 Timothy 3:16 NIV says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." Scripture is your greatest aid in this process. Not letting go of our mistakes is a form of self-power. We're choosing to stand in the place of God by holding ourselves hostage to our mistakes. Instead of accepting that God has forgiven us, removed our shame and guilt, and released us from our bondage to that sin, we're choosing to reject Him and His gift to us. We're saying, "I know you sacrificed your son so my poor choices could be forgiven, but that wasn't quite sufficient. It really wasn't enough to wipe out my sin. So I'm going to keep myself on the hook." I know this can be a fierce battle, but what's the point of continuing to condemn yourself even when God doesn't condemn you? Forgiving yourself is a choice. No one can make that choice except you. In the Healing Journey class, we include this as a deliberate part of confessing our offenses, either against God or against others. I always invite students to say out loud, "I have received God's mercy." If there's resistance to accepting we really are forgiven, it will show up here in a heartbeat. I often spend a great deal of time working with students here to help them make the choice to receive the gift. How sad to be forgiven but not receive it and accept it as true. Jesus went to a lot of trouble to give us this gift. Let's not reject it. This is a battle of our will, but it's a battle worth fighting. Succeeding, however, requires we fight it on all fronts, in our beliefs, in our thoughts, in our choices. But there's likely even more. Our feelings can play into this as well. Those feelings of self-loathing and regret and shame are real. You didn't make them up. They are attached to real things that have happened in your life, key relationships, painful events. They're reasons why you don't let yourself off that hook, even though God has forgiven you. You may or may not know what the feelings are attached to. If you know what it is, for example, you were never able to receive acceptance from your father, or never able to please your mother, or never able to achieve certain things in school or sports, or maybe you were told you will never amount to anything. If you know what is blocking you, then by all means, pursue the healing remedy for it. This will heal those feelings so they are no longer pulling you down into that shame again. Forgive whoever you need to forgive. Grieve what you've lost and let it go. Let it heal. Properly dress those wounds and let them heal. But if you don't know, then ask God to show you. Maybe Healing Journey would be a good option for you to help with your restoration process. When the root wound is healed, the feelings will naturally move from painful to peaceful. Those types of early messages are so damaging to our identity. They try to send the message that we'll never measure up. They create an environment in our soul that is so damaged it cannot receive the messages of mercy and love from God. That's usually where our wrong identity begins. But you don't have to continue in that your entire life. You can ditch the false identity and receive the true one. But as I've already said, that takes some commitment to work on it. In conclusion today, I want to encourage you to make this phrase your daily goal. Let it go. You may need to take a number of steps to achieve victory, but I assure you the battle is worth it. If it's helpful, listen to this podcast again and get the steps clearly in your mind. The corresponding worksheet might help you too. All scripture is from the New King James Version, unless otherwise stated.
Thank you for listening to Cindy Sherwood's podcast. Visit us on the web at hishealinglight.org to learn more about our ministry. Please consider rating us on iTunes or your other favorite music app. God's best to you today.